I'm about to have a fit. It's a good thing you got a mask on, that's all I can tell you. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to say to the Lord, thank you for lighting it all up. And I want to say thank you, Brother Randy, for your burden for tonight's service. Whatever you've done to prepare and prayer and planning, God bless you, Brother Randy. I appreciate every song. I appreciate song directors that are prepared, don't you? Thank God for that. And then, Brother Doug and your family, Lord of God, that helped me. And then this precious family that sang right here. Boy, I just enjoyed it all. And I'll be honest, if I went home right now, I could just about run all the way to Spruce Pine on what I'm feeling inside of me right now. And you don't go on feelings, but I'm telling you, I'm feeling something inside me right now. Amen. I want to read tonight out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yes, I don't need to remind me that I read it last evening. I want to read this text again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 3. And I'll ask if you will please stand as we reverence the reading of the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Verse 14. "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Father, thank you that we have a Bible, the precious Word of God. And though they may try to take singing and church services away from us, Lord, they cannot take the Word of God that has been planted firmly in our souls. And I praise you for the joy that you've given us for the journey. Thank you for saving an old sinner such as I. Now, Lord, I pray that God, you'd touch these that have gathered tonight at the Fletcher First Baptist, for these who stream online, for these precious singers tonight. Thank you for each one. We ask your blessing now, sir, as we try to preach, for we need your help. Energize us of the power of God and help us to declare the truths thereby in Jesus' precious name. We humbly pray and ask, amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. Verse number 7 seems to leap off the page in my heart in the last few days. Last night we looked at verse 7, and I suppose we'll look at it again tonight. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And last night we went to John chapter 2 and looked at some water pots at the wedding. What a picture they were of the treasure that is in earthen vessels. Tonight the Lord would have us go all the way back to a very familiar Old Testament text in the book of Genesis chapter number 24. Would you turn there with me? And tonight we want to preach this thought, pitchers of proposal, like a water pitcher of proposal. I'm reminded that recently a lady who is still not married, she came and she said, "Preacher Darren, I'd like to see if you'd be, when I get married, would you be available to perform the service? Would you preach?" And I said, "Well, sure, I'd be honored to." And she said, "Well, I'm 2/3 there." I said, "What?" She said, "Well, I'm willing, and the preacher's willing. Now I just got to find a fella that's willing." Interested, 2/3 there. I'm also reminded there was a flight attendant that she went on vacation in a cabin in the Rockies and went skiing, and she met a man that was a very wealthy, eligible bachelor. They began to court and date over those 10 days, and he asked her to marry him. And she was unsure, and when she left, she went back to her flight attendant's job, was flying, and decided one evening she would just step into the bathroom there and get some water and splash her face to refresh. And as she did, the airplane hit turbulence. She threw water all over her face, and there was a sign that flashed up that said, "Return to the cabin." And so she said, "That's a sign to go back to the cabin in the Rocky Mountains and tell this man yes." And she was married for almost 30 years before he passed away. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do that or try it, but when we look at Genesis chapter 24, there is, number one, a bride being planned for the son. We see this man Abraham. We remember him, a man that came out of the land of idolatry, a nobody. Nobody would have even known him, but God went and found him where he was. Reminds me of you, living as a sinner, and God came by and found you there and brought you to a place of salvation. And now Abraham is up in years. The Bible says in Genesis 24, verse 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from which thou camest?" Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again."
And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Do you see that Abraham is a picture of God the Father? And the servant is a picture of God the Holy Spirit going to search out a bride for Jesus, the Son of God. And this eldest servant, who is unnamed, and I like that fact, don't you? As he goes out and says, should I bring your son again? If the woman won't come, said, my son is not going there again. Amen. And she'll follow you. God's going to bless with a bride. But if the woman is unwilling, you're loose from the oath. And I want you to know that the servant put his hand under Abraham's thigh and a covenant was made. God has planned a bride for his son. Say amen. Number two, the bride is prepared for the son. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel, to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. This servant of Abraham was charged with a great commission to go and find a bride. And as he leaves, he takes with him 10 camels. And he makes this great journey from the father's house down to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And when he gets there at the time of the evening, he looks around and many women in the evening are coming out through that land, taking their pitchers, going down to the well that they might draw with them some water to return back to their houses for the evening. And the servant said, oh my, I don't know which one it is that would make the perfect bride for my master's son. And he said, Lord, if it be your will, if you'd bless your servant, just let it work that the girl I asked that would give me something to drink after she's got water, just let her stop and say, sir, I'll go and water your camels also. Now that's a vast undertaking because he's got 10 camels. And a typical camel would drink at least 5 gallons. These camels are not typical camels. They're thirsty camels. And they may drink 5 times that amount. And sure enough, as he stands there, verse 15 happens. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. Let me give you Waldropology 101. He hadn't even said amen yet. Hallelujah. Before he said amen, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher, woo-wee, upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, and came up, and the servant ran to meet her. Amen. I remember the night that the Holy Ghost came my way, and he ran to meet me back there in the pew where I sit. And the Bible says, he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Time out. Don't you know the servant said, woo, glory to God. Amen. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw the water. The Bible says in verse 20, she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again and again and again and again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camel. Now the servant, he's wondering at her. He held his peace to wit whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight. He didn't give her the whole set yet. You catch that? I mean, what fella gives his soon-to-be wife? Hey, man, this girl right here is not going to be his wife, but the son's wife. Just one earring. Look how big it is. It's a half shekel weight. And two bracelets, four hands of 10 shekels. Way to go. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? I want you to know, Rebecca says, my father, his name is Bethuel. And there is room and provisions for those camels to stay there. And the Bible says in verse 26 that the man, which is the servant of Abraham, bowed down his head and worship the Lord. He knew right there that God Almighty had blessed his journey and had answered his prayer. Thirdly, we see the bride's proposal from the servant. The Bible tells us that they came back there and they've given the provisions now to the camels and they're ready to set at meat. And the servant says, I can't even eat meat yet until I tell you my business. I need to tell you while I'm here. Verse 34, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. I'm glad the night when I got saved, the Holy Ghost didn't even come tell me that he was the Holy Ghost. He just came and told me about the Son. He told me about Jesus. And he told me about my lost condition. What's the message of the servant as he begins to tell about the mighty blessings? Verse 34, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He is declaring the vast riches of the Father. Hey, how rich is our God? I'm telling you, as I drove over here at about three different intersections, I saw people, God bless them, holding signs, wanting to get maybe some money. Don't have a job. Three different places. But I'm telling you something, honey. I didn't run across one bird anywhere that had a chain around his neck with a sign on it that said, I will chirp for food. That's not what he did. Because, listen, that bird is taken care of by God Almighty. And God feeds him two or three squares every single day of the week. You hear me well on Facebook. You hear me tonight at Fletcher First Baptist Church. If Mr. Bill Gates and all his fame and fortune had the duties to go out and feed the birds, he'd be bankrupt before the first meal was over. But our God takes care of the birds, and every single one of his youngins like me and you, you ought to say amen at the mighty blessings of our Father. The servant didn't stop there. He gets to talking about a miraculous birth. What? Oh, yes. Read with me. Verse 35. He's blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servant and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. Listen, she was 90 years old. Can you imagine your grandma, maybe your great-grandma, said, ooh, child, me and your grandpappy's got news. What is it? We gonna have a baby. You think your teeth would fall out. She was 90. Abraham was 100. And they had a baby. Blessed of Almighty God. A miraculous birth. I get to thinking about Jesus. he too had a miraculous birth, born of a virgin. I say hallelujah for the miraculous birth of my Savior. And unto him, look at verse 36, unto him hath he given all that he had. Now, he's only told him about the mighty blessings and the miraculous birth, but he tells him about the marvelous bond. He said the Father has such love for the Son that he's already given the Son everything that's the Father's belongs to the Son. Now, you know how it is where we live? A lot of daddies want to hold on to it till they take that last breath, and some won't even let it go then. Amen! I knew I wouldn't get amen there because we're hard-hearted and stubborn, but God the Father thought it wise to give everything that he had to his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, if Jesus would give his life for me and for you, how will he not freely give us all things that we need? I mean, what kind of fool would I be to go and buy a brand new car for my wife and not put tires on it? What kind of fool would I be to buy a brand new car for my wife and be so chimsy I wouldn't put gas in it? Oh, no. My Father gave everything, and he's took care of everything that we need. Oh, what a marvelous bond between Father and Son. And the servant is preaching before they sat down to meal. Now, I want you to know, the family starts hearing this message. And her brother Laban, he's interested in the earring. He's interested in the golden bracelets. He's interested in the material possessions. Her mama, she starts delaying this thing. Oh, wait a minute, girl. Wait a minute, girl. You can't leave me, girl. You can't leave me. And I want you to know they're trying to delay. Well, the night I got saved, the old flesh did all it could to delay me going down that highway and calling on Jesus. I mean, it came up with every excuse under the book. In fact, it probably fought somebody here last night about not going down and bowing your knee tonight while they were singing, not raising your hand, and said, praise the name of Jesus. Your old flesh has fought against every single thing that it has to throw at you. But the Bible says in verse 55, her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto him, hinder me not. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, seeing me a way that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? Think about it. Will you, girl? What you thinking? You gonna go and hear this man? Oh, he's got a good message, a miraculous birth and mighty blessings and a marvelous bond. Oh, don't you think somewhere in there he may have told that time that Abraham took willing Isaac up to the mountain, and Isaac laid down on the altar there, and Abraham drew back the knife, ready to slay the boy. What love Isaac had, being willing to lay down his life, and how God stopped it. And amen, and how God provided a lamb for the sacrifice. Don't you know she heard about the love and how God, woo, how the Son was raised up off of that altar. He was going to be sacrificed. Hallelujah. Wilt thou go with this man? Girl, do you want to go to heaven? Well, I do. Or you want to go today? Or you? She, the Bible said, she said, I will go. The servant, mark it in your mind. He never pressured her. He never pushed her. He never tried to talk her into it. All he did was present the message. And the message spoke to her, and she gave Isaac her heart, though she had never, ever laid eyes on him. Woo! The night I got saved, July 13th, 1978,
at the Balfour Baptist Church, the gospel was presented. Conviction fell upon me. I didn't see Jesus, but I heard from him. I didn't see Jesus, but I know he was there. Amen. And when I bowed there in that altar that night, my dad came down. He said, "Son, what's wrong?" Daddy knew what was wrong. He said, "Son, what's wrong?" I said, "Daddy, I'm lost." I didn't get to the altar. I bowed in the middle of the aisleway. I said, "Daddy, I'm lost. And I didn't make it." He said, "Son, I got good news. He's come to you." And he saved me right in the middle of the aisleway there at the Balfour Baptist Church. And my life has never been the same. How about you? Hey, doesn't my God deserve a little praise? Amen. Well, we see the bride's proposal. "Wilt thou go with this man?" She said, "I will go." Fourthly, the bride's provision, verse 61. "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Stop. She left her family behind to follow this man as he leads her towards home. You talk about going to be a homecoming. There's going to be a homecoming. She said goodbye to mama, goodbye to daddy, goodbye to brother, goodbye to sister. And she got up on that camel, the camels that she had watered just previously, 10 of them. She climbed up. Oh, now let me talk to you real quick. Wealthy people, Abraham's wealthy, they ride beautiful white horses, stallions. But the servant didn't bring stallions. He brought camels. That's unusual. You see, the servant knows what's ahead. The servant knew a horse could not survive the journey from the father's house to the city of Nahor. Preacher, why you say that? He knew that between the father's house and the city of Nahor was a barren wasteland, a desert with the hot sun, wilderness beaten down. Listen, did you know without camels, men would perish in the desert? I'm supporting and saying to you tonight that these camels are camels of grace that have come by to pick her up and take her back home to the Father's house. And if you and I are going to survive the pressure and the heat and the barren deserts of this land, we're going to need to be riding the camels of grace. You see, deserts are not always flat. There are mountains. There are valleys. There are hardships. There are difficulties. There are many men that have set across the barren desert, but they became lost, dying and perishing in that wilderness, and were never found. Oftentimes, many men's bones have been found, perished in the middle of the desert. But our servant, which is the type of the Spirit, chose a camel. He's the only animal that's equipped to survive the desert heat. Camels, they're not pets. They're not for those people that are homebound, that have driven down pegs in this earth saying, "We're staying here." Camels are animals that are meant to travel. May I remind you, the servant knew when he picked that girl up, they wasn't staying there, but they were traveling back home. May I remind you, you're a pilgrim, woo, and you're not here to stay. You're just a stranger, and you're on your way home. And God has sent by, well, hallelujah, God has sent by your way a camel of grace that you might get on and make it. Chapter 13. Don't lose Genesis 24. Turn to John 13. One verse, verse 36. This is what Jesus said. He was speaking to Simon Peter. It's important that you see this tonight because you're a pilgrim passing through. John 13, 36. Say amen when you found it. The Bible says, Simon Peter, said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. You know where Jesus was going? Next chapter. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. Where's he going? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. God has sent us a servant who's the guide, who's the guardian. Well, hallelujah. God has sent us grace, a camel, to ride all the way home. Honey, we're going to make it in spite of the coronavirus. Honey, we're going to make it in spite of the election. Honey, we're going to make it no matter what this world says. God Almighty has declared it the minute you said, I will go. Hey, hallelujah. Now think about it for a minute. When travelers ride a camel and they get in the hot summer, I'm looking right now, and they start wilting and perishing because of the heat and the pressures of life, that camel will lay down. And when he lays down, they'll get in his shadow. So the hot sun and the pressure has not failed on them anymore. In the shadow, oh, I'm thinking about getting under his wings. In the shadow, in a cool place where the pressure's off. There's times that the desert at nighttime gets cold and the traveler's about to freeze to death. He'll get that camel to lay down and he'll snuggle up to him and he'll stay warm. I'm talking about the grace of God that'll take you in the heat, the grace of God that'll take you in the cold and deliver you safely on the other side. You know, the first thing she's going to do, she's made a decision, I will go. The first thing she's got to do is she's got to get on the camel. Did you know camels are 6 feet tall at the shoulders? No man can climb on a camel without assistance. You know what's got to happen? Y'all looking at me? The camel, I'm going to be the camel. The camel has got to bow down. And when he does, then you can get on board. I just want to remind you for a second, how that the grace of God stooped down to pick you up. Jesus stooped down in Gethsemane, and he fell on his face and said, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus stooped down at Gabbatha and allowed them to beat him, and whip him till the blood flowed from his body. Jesus stooped down at Golgotha, suffering the shame and the agony of crucifixion for my sins and yours. Jesus stooped down to the grave and allowed himself to be buried. Woo! And one day at the Balfour Baptist Church on July 13, 1978, Jesus stooped down in grace that I might get on board. May I say this tonight? God is my witness. The caravan of camels is passing through this place tonight. You can get on board if you but would. Naismith, how many's already on board? Hey, glory to God. May I say this? When that camel stoops down, she gets on board. But she's not going to go anywhere till the camel gets back up. I'm thinking about the first day of the week. Jesus got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. My Jesus, he's alive. Hallelujah. The camel does not care who gets on board. He doesn't care about their money. He doesn't care about their pedigree. He doesn't care about black, white, yellow, red, tan, brown. He doesn't matter skin color to the camel. He doesn't care about your past. All he cares about is whosoever will, let him get on board. Hey, hallelujah. The camel, to a lot of people, he's considered ugly. He's been to some of them Baptist meetings that we have after some services and put humps on his back. Dried out. But you see, a camel got a long, ugly nose. He's got three eyelids. He's a nomad of the desert. Sandstorms don't affect him. He'd smell water 50 miles away, but he's ugly. But let's get beyond appearances. And I think you'll see the grace of God, of Jesus, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, that there's no beauty that we should desire him. The Bible said we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Turn on the news tonight. Many see my Savior, Jesus Christ, as offensive. But folks, there is no other way to heaven. No other way from this wilderness to the Father's house but by Jesus Christ, through the camels of grace, through the blood that Jesus shed. There is no other way. Well, Preacher Darren, I want a way more dignified. I want a better way. I want an easier way. I'm not going to get on board an ugly, smelly, stinky old camel. Then, honey, stay here in the wilderness and see what happens to you. Other people have tried it before you, and they're laying there dead, and their souls rotten in hell now. But for everybody that got on board the camel, they've never been sorry. Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? I will go. She got on board that camel. And he stood back up. And they started crossing this weary wilderness. The servants leading, guiding, guarding, guaranteeing her. Every provision for her to be safe is given to her along the way. I wonder what her and that servant talked about. I bet they talked about the Father. I bet they talked about his love for the Son and the Son's love for the Father. All the way there. What a journey. Youngins, I want to tell you something. You're on the journey tonight, riding on that camel. If it gets hot, get in his shadow. If it gets cold, snuggle up to it. But ride, honey, ride. Sometimes I've seen them on them camels. They'll put them big old seats, and they'll put belts around them and stuff and tie. You ain't falling out. Hey, listen. Oh, Noah, think about it for a minute. You remember Noah built a boat? A great big ark. God taught him get on board the boat, and God shut him in. I'm sure there were times when Noah may have been working that maybe he stumbled over a shovel or stumbled over some type of instrument or a bucket. But when he fell, he didn't fall out. Hey, could not be done because God had shut him in. And when we got on the camel, he latched us in and we're there for the whole ride. Hallelujah. Well, I got to move on. Fifthly, I'm done. I believe Rebecca's heart, the more the servant talked about the Son, the more she yearned to see him. When y'all get to singing, homecoming, y'all get to sing salvation. Now, I'm telling you, I've got a yearning to see the one who gave his life for me. The Bible says in verse 62, now, Rebecca's on her way, and Isaac, that's the son. You know what? We've not seen Isaac. The last time we saw him was Genesis 22. He is laying down his life on that altar, and the Lord raised him back up off of it. That was the last time we saw Isaac until right here. And it's as if there was a first coming, and here's his second coming. Ain't that beautiful? And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoah, for he dwelt in the south country. You know what that means? God sent me. Amen. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw. And behold, the camels were coming. The bride is on her journey. Right now, youngins, I'm telling you, Trump or Biden doesn't matter. Listen. We're on our journey, and the camels are coming, and we're just riding, hallelujah. And the Bible said, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. For she had said to the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Hey, you know what? He's here with us tonight. We ought to light off our camels. We ought to fall on our face. And the servant would say, look around, youngins. It is my master. Let me just take time out and say something. Y'all ready? Woo! It's my master. He's passing by tonight. Bless his holy name. Now look with me. The Bible says, therefore she took a veil and she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. His mother's passed away now. Understand that Rebekah was not Sarah. She has an entirely different position. The church, the bride, is not Israel. We are brought into a completely different position than Israel as the bride of Christ. Honey, there is coming a homecoming day. Jesus will step out and welcome home his bride. There was a little lady. She went to one of these elegant dress shops. She was wearing a gunny sack, toe sack dress. When she came in, some of the girls that worked there turned their nose up and said, what is she and the likes of her doing in a fancy outfit like this? But she looked through all the different garments, and nobody would even as much as speak to her. But about 2 weeks later, she came in dressed in a nice designer dress, all kinds of jewelry on, looking through the same gowns, and the attendants and the workers there were, I'm going to get to her. No, I'm going to get the commission. No, I'm going to talk to her. And two or three were out there trying to wait on her. And they saw her and said, ma'am, you look familiar. Were you here a few weeks incognito? She said, no, that was me. I was here, but I wasn't incognito. That's just who I was. But last week, I married a wealthy man. And now, every need that I have and even some of my desires, he's taken care of. Youngins, I'm telling you, don't hang your head. Don't kick the can home. Don't cuss the cat and yell at the dog and jump up and down and scream at your children and yell at your wife or scream at your husband. Know this, that Jesus Christ has saved you. You're on a journey. You're going to make it all the way. He's going to provide for every need you had. It's time to rejoice. It's time to celebrate. It's time to be encouraged. I say thank God that you and I are just earthen vessels. And he chose to save you and forgive you and fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I just came by on my camel tonight to tell you, youngins, pick up the pace. We're almost home. You'll stand to your feet tonight. Hey, somebody come play. You know what I'd like to hear? I don't know if they're still here, but that homecoming song was pretty good. They still here. They